Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and thank God that we're here. Another session of Blog Talk Radio Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. So it definitely is a blessing be able to be here one more time. Thank God. It's because of His grace. It's because of His mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And thank God that He brought us from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. We didn't have no city to dwell in, no place to dwell in. So, but we thank God, as the writer says there in that psalm, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." So he goes on to say, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." So he brought us from far and he brought us from near. So thank God that we were far from Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and without hope in the world, without God. But ye who were sometimes afar off, the writer says in the book of Ephesians, says you are made nigh by the blood of Christ, that is, made near. So thank God for the born-again experience. And that's who he is talking to in the church at Ephesus, people who have been born again. So people realize the gospel message of the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, as what he talks about in the book of Ephesians. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And he went on to say, "The promises unto you Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." So he testified and exhorted with many other words, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." It goes on, "They that gladly received this word were baptized, and were added unto them," Luke the writer says, "about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers." So that's what's so good about when you read in the letters the children's bread to people who are already saved. He's letting them know you got to have fellowship. And truly our fellowship is with the Father. So we thank God for his word. And we'd like to welcome all of our Twitter followers and listeners. Welcome all of our Facebook followers and listeners. All of our Blog Talk friends, followers, and listeners. And our LinkedIn friends and connections, listeners on LinkedIn. Truly have met a lot of good people on LinkedIn. So there's a lot of different venues. Like I've said, I've surprised, as Block Talk Radio has been around since 06, and it's out of New York. Still a lot of people don't know about Blog Talk Radio. So it's definitely a great technical tool to be able to use. So there are people that do have, there's many different venues on Blog Talk Radio, and there are a number of numbers and numbers of Christian venues on Blog Talk Radio. So thankful to God to be able to be on Blog Talk Radio. So we have been in the past 3 weeks, we've been in the book of the Hebrews teaching. And so we still have been teaching, I believe, about 9 months or so out of teaching on the Godhead. And so we know Jesus is the theme of the Bible. So that's what it's all about. It's not about us, but it's about him who came to give his life a ransom for many. He is the one that said, "No man take my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again." So it is so, he is the central theme of the Bible. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So he came to give his life a ransom for many. So no one else is so important as he is. So I know many leaders, they're magnifying themselves, but we got plenty of people in the Word of God. When we look back and we can read in the Word of the Lord, the Holy Writ, from the 1,189 chapters from Genesis to Revelation, the 39 chapters in the Old Testament and the 27 in the New, there are enough people in there we can read about. And just like the writer Paul says, whatsoever things are written afore were written for our learning, that we through comfort and patience of the scriptures might have hope. So there were great men in biblical days, Abraham, Moses, David, so many great, Job, there's so many great people of God, Deborah, back in Israel, who was a judge, Samuel, the prophet. There are many who are our examples. And I mean, God uses people, and everyone that he used, people has thoughts, but nowadays you learn. That's why I just quoted that scripture. I believe it's Romans 15:4. Whatsoever things are written afore are written for our learning, that we through comfort and patience of the scriptures might have hope. So we don't have to make the mistakes that they made. So somebody said it's good to know if he'll be there if ever I fall. But then they go on to say, but it's better to know that I don't have to fall at all. So Peter said, if you add to your faith virtue, and the virtue of temperance, and patience, and knowledge, all these things that you can add to your faith. It's in the 2 Peter. So he goes on to say, it's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might have partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. For these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So he goes on to say, wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. What things? Those things that I just read. So he says, for so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it behooves us. So we search the scriptures. Well, in them we think we have eternal life. And there are they, Jesus says, which testify of me. So we examine ourselves and see whether we be in the faith. That's what I made mention of that scripture. So you got to look at yourself. You got to take the beam out of your own eye, and so you can see clear to take the mote out of your brother. So in other words, it's a full-time job to save yourself, as Peter said. So you look into the perfect law of liberty. You don't want to. That's the mirror, the word of God. So you don't want to be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. That man is going to be blessed, excuse me, in his deed. So that's what you want to do, is we don't want to be doers only, hearers only, but we want to be doers, because there's enough people. So that's okay. When somebody is lying on you and you're walking with God, that is fine, because you're making the devil out of a liar every time. Because even in the Old Testament, our example, you couldn't just accuse someone of something and take them before the judges. But the writer said, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So you can't just go run off with something by yourself. Even in if you have an accident or something happens, they look for witnesses, because that is what's going to establish what you are trying to accuse someone of. Okay, and yes, there have been false witnesses at times too, but for the most part, you have true witnesses, and you end up being a false witness, and you're really in trouble too. So point being, you can't fool God. So God said, I'll walk in them and dwell in them. I'll be their God. They shall be my people. So that is, thank God for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Joel 2:28, he says, it shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So we know you got to go back. I'm just kind of going back a little bit. Peter was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus told him, whatever you bind on earth, he said, thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And he said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. That means exactly what it says. The church has binding and loosing power. So he used that power and that authority to open up the church on the day of Pentecost, to open up the church down in Samaria in the 8th chapter of Acts, open up the church in the 10th chapter of Acts to the Gentiles. So that's why that was the outpouring. He was letting them know. They was mocking the people when they had went to the city of Jerusalem after Jesus' resurrection, after he was on the earth for 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He told them, you know, wait for the promise which saith he, you have heard of me. And he went on to let them know, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So they asked him a question in Acts 1:6. Well, thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel. He let them know, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He said those words, he stepped on a cloud and was received out of sight. These two men in white apparel, which were angels, said, ye men of Israel, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus, which is taken up, is going to come in like manner. So he went back to heaven. 10 days later, he sent the Holy Ghost, the 50th. That is why Pentecost is called the 50th, the 50th day after the Passover. God poured out his spirit. They were speaking in other tongues or other languages. Men from every nation under heaven were there in Jerusalem. They were in an upper room. That's why Peter preached and let them know about Jesus, how he came to give his life, how he was crucified, how he got up on the third day, just like he said that he would. So that was the promise of the Father. When they had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they heard them speak in their own language wherein they were born. They said, we do hear them speak the wonderful works of God. So this is how God works. So that's why the command was to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So many are confused. The translation, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Well, you got to look at that name. The Father has a name. The Son has a name. The Holy Ghost has a name. He knew what the name was. So this is why Jesus chose these 12 men. So the Lord's Prayer in the 17th chapter of St. John, I don't pray for these only, but I pray for all of them that shall believe on me through their word. So you can count on it. It's in the name of Jesus that we have the victory. So that's why Luke was writing in Acts 4 and 12. He says, neither is there salvation. This is the stone which was rejected of the build, you know, set at naught. You know, you builders rejected. He said, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So this is why when he wrote to Timothy, he says there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So it's in him we live. It's in him we move. It's in him we have our being. So after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah no more in the Bible. Jesus is Jehovah, who Jehovah is become our salvation. So you go to heaven, you ain't going to see three on the throne. You're going to see one sat on the throne. He's everywhere here now, their God. He stretched out the heavens as a curtain. He did it all by himself. He said, is there a God beside me? You read in the book of Isaiah, I know not of any, none after me. None before me, none beside me. So he is the great I am. So he said that he was known by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But he said, but by my name Jehovah, Exodus 6 and 3, was I not made known unto them. You got to look at the dispensations. What's going on when the name was revealed? So thank God that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So you're going to put down all rule and authority. In 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, he's going to reign till he put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So they're going to see that body. When did you receive those wounds? Said, I was wounded in the house of my friends. They're going to realize. That's why Peter said, know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard that, they were pricked in the hearts. That's why they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's when he told them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So I know I'm just backtracking a little bit, but we thank God that we are here. So last week we left off in the book of Hebrews, and we have been going through that book, and it's amazing the terminology used in that book and verses of scripture in the book of Hebrews relate back, just like I made mention, those of you that listen on a pretty regular basis, as he said today, after so long a time, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in a provocation of the day of temptation in the wilderness. That is a direct quote from the 95th Psalm. So he was saying, you hear his voice, harden not your heart. In other words, don't harden your heart. So we are grateful for that. We thank God at time to time. We'd like to do a little station identification and let you know I'm not out there by myself, but God setteth the solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. I'm in authority, under authority, in authority. You can't be in authority if you're not under authority. So I'm under the authority. I'm ordained elder of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, headquarters out of Indianapolis, Indiana. It's an apostolic organization. Our first presiding bishop was the Honorable late Honorable Bishop Garfield Thomas Haywood. We called him G.T. Haywood. So we've come off from under mighty men of God. We were taught. So you got to teach it, just like in the book of back in Israel days. It says, teach it to thy sons in the book of Deuteronomy and to thy sons' sons. This is what Paul told Timothy. The things you have heard of me before many witnesses, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So this is handed down. So my pastor is Pastor Elder Larry Clifton from Ypsilanti, Michigan. So I've been under three pastors in my 37 years that I've been walking with God. My father in the gospel was the Honorable late Elder Jesse Ross, was my father in the gospel. Then I also was under Bishop David Ellis for a short period of time. Then I also was under his son for almost 14 years, who is our presiding bishop of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. That is the Bishop Charles H. Ellis III. But my pastor now is Elder Larry Clifton, who we both came out of the same church. And I also was under Suffragan Bishop District Elder Harry Grayson. So we thank God that we're here. So now the name of the church that I'm affiliated with is called Jesus International Ministries on McCartney Road in Ypsilanti, Michigan. So we just made a move into another building. So we're not out there by ourselves. So that's why I say that's Psalm 68 and verse 6. God selleth, notice, he setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. Biblical terminology, dry land is the desert. In the desert, there is no living waters. And no, where there is no living waters, you will die spiritually, because there are no living waters in the desert. So I'm not out there by myself. So I'd just like to say that. So that's a rebellious man. When you out there, he says, the rebellious dwell in a dry land. So you ain't. You sit down and you are taught. So this is handed down. I just didn't get this from reading myself, but I got saved in Bible class August the 11th, 1976. Many of those the older patriots at the, especially at the local church where I was, even on the council level and the national level, many of our fathers and great evangelists in the Lord have gone on to be with the Lord who taught us. So we know God is real. We can walk with God. We can have the victory. So we know the devil is the thief. He come to steal, to kill, and destroy. So he on your trail. If he ain't if he's not messing with you, you need to check yourself, because you should be a threat to his kingdom. You are living right. So that's okay. There's mistakes made, and I'm not talking about falling in sin. People have made the wrong things people have done in their life, made bad choices, whatever. You realize you're in a bad situation, you get out of there, and you run for your life, because you got to save yourself, as Peter said. So we thank God for that. So it's such a simple gospel. Two things that are so important. What Jesus said to the woman at the well in Samaria. He said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that talketh with you, you would ask him to give you living water. So she didn't know who he was talking about. So after he got done talking to her, because the disciples were going away to buy bread, they marveled, like, why is he talking to her? But nobody said, why talkest thou with her? But after she knew, he let her know, go call your husband. And she I have no husband. He said, you had five, and the one that you have now is not your husband. She knew that I perceive that you are a prophet. He let her know God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. St. John 4 and 24. So he went on. This lady was so moved by the master, the things that he told her, she said to the men of the city, come see a man that told me all ever that I did. I mean, that was biblical talk. So is not this indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world? So she knew. So you got power. And I imagine that woman in Samaria was not ugly. So people don't get that. We are, our flesh, all flesh is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So we are grass. That's why Peter says, surely the people is grass. So you don't get caught up in looks, and but we have fellowship one with another. It should be heart to heart and breast to breast. Our love for one another being male or female. So you're not caught up lusting after people, but you have power when you receive the Holy Ghost. And not only that, there's probably more sisters in the church than there are brothers at any given time. So that's not even where the plane that we're on. I told somebody, I've worked at GM for 30 years before I retired 6 years ago, and I was speaking to someone, and they turned around and walked away. And you know how guys do. They tried to act like, oh. I let them know. I said, let me tell you something. I am not bionic, and I am not blind. So in other words, I'm not crazy. You can talk to people. You don't have to hold your head down. Sometimes people used to do that. But I did prison ministry for 20 years, and 18 of those 20 years was women's prison ministry, because we started doing prison ministry a couple years, and then we ended up, they turned the prison that we were going to into a women's facility. So us brothers at the church, we got some of the evangelists, sisters at our church, ministers, female ministers, to start doing prison ministry, and they ended up giving us more than one Sunday. So we couldn't get away. So I ministered in women's prison. I've ministered to women. I've seen women be filled with the Holy Ghost. We baptized women in the name of Jesus in the prison system. One time we baptized 28 women. We had a baptism service. We baptized them. We buried them in the water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins at a prison in Plymouth, Michigan called Scott Regional Facility. I've seen women get filled with the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, there was one woman used to just talk, me and another elder at the home church that I was from. We were there at the prison. This particular God filled this sister with the Holy Ghost. She was there under an alias. He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. This woman received the Holy Ghost. She told us her real name. I'm telling you, God is real. So anyway, we want to move on today. So we just thank God for the privilege. And like they said, don't give a preacher a mic, because he can go and he should be able to, he should have something to say. So I had had a saying when I did prison ministry. I was going to tell much as I can every time I got a chance. So thank God for his word. You cannot exhaust the word of the Lord. So, like I said, I do especially want to welcome our LinkedIn listeners, because on the Blog Talk, we have links for Twitter. We have also built-in links on our switchboard for Twitter and for Facebook and for the Blog Talk followers and friends, but we don't have that for LinkedIn. So I just have to post it. But I thank God for all of the kindness of people on LinkedIn who have endorsed me for my skills. And incidentally, Blog Talk, those of you, like I said, there are many who still haven't heard of Blog Talk Radio, but all of the shows that we do on Blog Talk are on demand. You can go and listen to any show anytime you get ready. So even me, most people, you hate to hear yourself, but I have went back many times. I've heard myself, because I want to pick up right where I left off. I've heard myself, and I could not mimic myself if I had to do it. So that is just the grace of God. That is the gift of God. And this is what Peter said. He said about what time we were living in and everything, and he was saying that we should minister with the ability that God giveth, that God may be glorified. He said, as every man has received the gift, even so minister with the ability that God giveth, that God may be glorified. So that's what it's all about. It's not about us, but it's about Jesus. So that's what we need to know. So I'm against any false thing. And one of the things that is going on, like I said, the worst sin in the world is unbelief. And we've been talking and reading about that. But there is a deadly sin that is going on right now in the so-called body of Christ. That is this lie about sowing a seed. No bigger lie ever been told. You got everybody is just begging for money. You don't have to sow no seed. Ain't no sow no seed. You pay, the tithe is the tenth, and a free will offering. That's why the writer says, every man purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, but willingly. God loveth a cheerful giver. All this so-called sowing a seed, that is a lie out of hell. I stomp it and kick it out every time I get a chance. So here's one scripture that they use. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't give. You could sow if you want, but there's no law about no seed sowing is the way that they try to describe it. And so they say, literally in the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter says that, for as the rain cometh down from heaven and the snow, maketh the earth to bring forth and to bud. And he said that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth not return unto me void, but shall accomplish the thing I send it, and prosper in that which I please. Notice what he said in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. That is literal rain. In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, that is literal snow. In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, he says, it maketh the earth to bring forth and the bud, that it may give seed to the sower. That is literal seed. And bread to the eater, that is literal bread that a farmer will grow. That you grow grain. You what they call that? I forget what they call that. That wheat and there's a soybeans and all that different stuff. You're literally growing. So in other words, you're gonna have more seed to sow. He's literally talking about seed. He ain't not talking about nobody giving money in that scripture. So you can't be deceived. And one of the signs of the end time, one of the questions that the disciples, they asked Jesus, what's going to be the sign of your coming, the end of the world? That's two of the questions. But anyway, one of the questions he was saying, Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you. How people are going to come in his name saying they're Christ and shall deceive many. So the point being, I don't care who you are. Jesus trumps everybody. So sometimes I've heard pastors say, we only are going to receive one offering. Then they let the preacher come in there and take another one. I mean, no, that's double talk. If you're only going to receive one offering, then why didn't, if you say that and I'm going to be the preacher in that service, you said that, I'm not going to override you and receive an offering after I get done preaching. No, because you got to obey authority. And not only that, if you said it, you snared by your own words. You're taken by your words. You're justified by your words. You're condemned by your words. So we got to say what we mean and mean what we say, and that is what God does. So today, with the time that we have remaining, so as I say, we were in the book of Hebrews last week, and we ended up talking about the high priest and how he had to go in once a year without blood, offer for a sacrifice for himself, and then for the people. So back in the Old Testament, they had bells on them. They had ropes on them because they went in the presence of God once a year, and they weren't right because Moses said that they had to go in there, right? That they die not. In other words, they don't die. I mean, so we don't like biblical terminology, but that's what he's saying. So they had ropes on them. They had bells on them. They didn't hear nothing. He didn't go in there, right? He was a dead man, and they had to drag him out because you can't go in there and get him. You'll die too. So God was not playing. But the point being, once in the end of the world, this is why the book of Hebrews was made, talking about he was made surety upon better a better testament and better promises. So the first covenant had been perfect. There were no room would have been sought for the second. Christ being a high priest and good things to come. So he appeared in the presence of God to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So we can read on. We'll see these things, what we're talking about. So this is where we ended up on last week. So I just want to go back a little bit and talk about Melchizedek, because you have to spring forward, because we kind of mentioned about Christ, about a call of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So that's what brings this into light. We want to get understanding. We want to be able to see. So he said, of whom, in the book of Hebrews 5 and 11, of whom, the 10th verse, call of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, or some people say Chiz, whatever way you pronounce it, Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. So in other words, that's why Jesus kept saying in the first three chapters of the book of the Revelation to the churches, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's why I made that quote. Keep mentioning, go back, the quote, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. The quote out of the 95th Psalm, today if you will hear his word, don't harden your heart, is what he's saying. So he goes on here, you're dull of hearing. When the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So you got to be mature. You got to grow up. And that word perfect means grow up in him who is the head of all things, even Christ. Like I've made mention before, we were teenagers. Girls used to say to boys, grow up. In other words, be mature is what they were saying. So a baby has to drink milk because they don't have teeth. They can't eat food. It takes time to mature, but you don't want to become stagnant. You don't want to be spiritually retarded. You want to keep going forward. So in this walk with God, so you got to be sober. You got to be vigilant, as Peter said, because your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So in this walk, you got to learn how to fight. So people don't like that. Because they just, just want to go along to get along. No, this goes against the grain. So he is not playing. So you got to do what is right. You got to have a heart to want to do what is right. So I say God is not playing with nobody. And the devil ain't playing either. He want to destroy every last one of us. So we got to realize who our enemy is. That's why we have to put on the whole armor of God. So there's a whole lot going on all at the same time. You got to know how to fight. You got what Jesus is going to do, what he said in the book of the Revelation, I'll fight against you with the sword of my mouth. That is the word. So we see in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, his name, he had a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. He's fighting them, the sharp sword. What are you going to do with that? He's going to smite the nations with the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So people think it's a joke. Oh, no. And see, what you got to realize, even right now, what is going on, this Congress, all of them need to be beat. It's a figure of speech in what the old people would say, but it's a bunch of spoiled old brats is what they are. But the whole bottom line is the love of money is the root of all evil. So they hate the president, so they shut down the nation, shut down the government. I mean, And they're supposed to be doing the people's work. They're supposed to be working for the people. But it ain't nothing but a mind game. The whole thing from hell is a mind game, is what they're doing. And as a child of God, you should be able not to be beat. Nobody can beat you in a mind game. But that's all it is a mind game. And the devil will make a fool out of itself in that mind game. So it says, you ought to be teachers, you have need of one to teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God, and become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word. He is a babe. In the word of righteousness, he says, he is a babe. Strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age. In other words, maturity. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So it's going to come a time. God is not playing when he's going to say three words like he did in David's time. It is enough. When God had enough, you better get out of the way. That's why the writer said, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. So here, this Melchizedek that we're talking about on today, and I know this, there's only so much you can say in such a small period of time, and only so much can be grasped. But you got to. That's why you meditate on the word, and at times, because you can't. I've been in this word, like I said, I've been saved for 37 years, and I read through the Bible. Every year I've started, I think this is my second year in a row or either third. So I commit it. Every year I'm reading through. That's on top of the reading and studying that all I do even for this, because you got to have the word. That's where you're going to have the victory. That's how you know what's going on. Some people don't like it. Oh, you try to tie everything in with the word. No, if I can see it, it's like a book. It opens up to me. I see it. So what's going on in the world, the word of the Lord is being fulfilled. So we hear here in the word of God, we know about Abraham and Lot, his nephew, how they got, they were together, and he was with him. And this is what we are talking about here, about Abraham meeting Melchizedek when he returned from the slaughter of the kings. So they had, to make a long story short, I mean, it's kind of hard. They took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and the victuals and went their way. So, and this is in the 14th chapter of Genesis. So, I mean, we just don't have enough time to deal with all this stuff. There came one that had escaped, told Abram the Hebrew, this is before God changed his name to Abraham, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite brother Eshcol, and brother Aner, and these were confederate with Abraham. When Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born of his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan, and divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them of Habak, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he bought back all the goods, and bought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of all the kings that were with him in the valley of Shavath, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. He blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto him, unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which were with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. So after that, the Lord said unto him, I'm your exceeding great reward. He had a vision. Fear not, Abram. I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? So he said unto him, and Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So we can see here this encounter that he had, Melchizedek. So we're going to go on here. I don't have time to really deal with all of that in the book of Genesis, but this is who the Hebrew writer is making reference to. So the question is, who is Melchizedek? I think the word can tell you better than I could ever say. So this is what we were saying to bring us back to the reference here, Hebrews 5 and verse 10, call of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So that would make us to spring ahead today so we can deal with this in the time that we have remaining. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him. Remember, we just read that. And to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Here is the key right here. This Melchizedek, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Notice that word. That's a key word, made like unto the Son of God. So that's the body of God. Remember, if you follow, when Mary conceived Jesus, in Luke 1 and 35, she says, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? So in other words, I don't have relations with a man. He said, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, therefore that come upon thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That operative word is called the Son of God. So this is the same one. So people don't get it. That's why I read that. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, John said, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's why he said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God. That's why Jesus said to Peter, they told him, that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ, not Jesus Christ. That ain't his last name. That's his title. That's his office. He is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God. But they couldn't. It's hard to keep that to yourself. You imagine you're walking around with the master? Because I'm telling you, just like I've said before, Jesus was walking on the water in Matthew 14th, 15th chapter, Mark, the 6th chapter, and St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus sent them away. He went up into a mountain to play. He's to pray. He saw them toiling in the fourth watch of the night. The winds were contrary. He came walking on the sea. They thought he was a spirit. They cried out for fear. And he said, behold, it is I. Be not afraid. St. John 6 and 21, when they had received him into the ship, John says, immediately they were at the other side where they went. I mean, I'm still trying to get that. What John was saying, as soon as Jesus stepped in the boat, they were at the other side. They were at shore. When he got in, they was getting ready to get out. Oh, yes, he is. Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, yes, he is. So thank God for his word. So he goes on to say, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. So he goes on, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the problems. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And Paul goes on to say, as I may so say, Levi also who received tithes paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So he goes on here, therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, under it the people received the law. What further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek, not be called after the order of Aaron? A question. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. It is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. It is yet far evident, more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal command, but after the power of an endless life. For he testified, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You got to pay very close attention to repetition. What he said, you're after the order of Melchizedek. So he didn't have beginning of days, nor end of life, father and mother, no descent. So he goes on here, for there is very a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof, but the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Remember I said, that is the key word in the book of the Hebrews, is better, a better covenant upon better promises. And only the Lord himself could do this. That's why he had to make himself a body. That's why he says, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. And that's here in the 10th chapter of the book of the Hebrews, and also in the 40th Psalm. He came in the volume of the book. So he said, it's written of me to do thy will, O God. So that's why Jesus said all things must be fulfilled, which were in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. This is the Lord speaking when he said that. So that's why he said he came in the volume of the book written of me to do thy will. So inasmuch as there's a verily disannulling of the commandment. Okay, the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. And insomuch as not without an oath he was made priest. So those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There it is again. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, or a testament is a will. So testament is of force after men are dead, is of no force while men liveth. And this is one thing Jesus did. So he died and he got up, and nobody ever done this ever and will never do it again as far as the order of this goes. You die, you make a will out, or it's a testament, and you hope after you die that it is executed and they get whoever you named in the will, get what was named in there. Oh, he got up from the dead with a mighty triumph for his foes, and he made sure that we got what he gave us in the will or in the testament. Nobody else could do that. You just hope that they would get that. So he goes on here. He was made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were, there truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. So after they died, that was it. But notice the subject here is the priest is Jesus. This man, because he continueth ever, hath made an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those priests to offer up sacrifice for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. So you see, the Lord Jesus Christ had to do this job himself. So that's why we can come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help time of need. We know our time is almost gone, but right here in the ninth chapter of the book of the Hebrews, nor yet as he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. Remember, we were talking about that back in the Old Testament. Then he must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Here it is. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So the appearing of the church is when he raptures the church away. When he comes back and steps on that Mount of Olives and crack that in half, ain't going to be no joke. That's why Jude said, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. He's coming back to execute judgment. That is the second coming. But the appearing is when the church got to get out of here. The Lord going to come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. So we thank God for his word, and we will talk to you on next time. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.com. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.